the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
So Shazizz here. You're listening to Shazizz Radio on Mad Science. And with that said, let's get this ball rolling. We have every single answer to every single question, every single thing that we need to literally prove and utilize free, clean, alternative energy. And I'm saying that because I believe that with everything I've got. Now, I posted a link over in the chat room, which I've done many times on ShazizzRadio.com and over on the Awake Radio chat room as well. This one particular video is a man that's using hydrogen to boil water, and one of the things that I'd like you to pay attention to if you happen to watch that video is that how rapidly that water actually begins to boil is instantaneously as he puts that onto that hydrogen that's burning, that he's able to literally boil that water really fast. It's quite impressive. But that's not the only piece to the puzzle there. We have the opportunity to literally build the perfect generator that the only byproduct would end up being fresh water. The latest video that I put out, I think it was called X13 Fun. If you have an opportunity to go over to YouTube and check out that video, you'll see that using a old motor that came out of a air conditioning unit or some sort that they call the X13s. And it's a pretty decent electric motor, magnet rotor inside there, and has a potential to put out quite a bit of voltage the way it's designed. Now, this specific design, I believe, could actually be improved upon, but for the moment, right off the store shelf, it's already ready to go to put out some voltage and stuff. See, in the video I showed that I'm using a old weed eater mulcher. It's actually like a vacuum. It sucks leaves up and chops them up and spits them into the bag, and you could make compost or mulch out of it. It's a pretty neat little gizmo, but I'm using that kind of in the reverse. I'm using it as a wind generating system. Now, last Mad Science show, I posted a link of a video out there where they were also talking about a generation system that they're selling for like $5,000 starting, and it's supposed to do like 60 kilowatts or whatever. Anyway, they don't explain exactly how that thing functions, but it's kind of similar to what I'm talking about. It's basically a wind generator in a box with a flywheel system for that centrifugal force going on. Now, everybody who is out there in alternative energy, any generators for that matter, know that the biggest problem out there that you have is back EMF. And that back EMF will transfer from the load all the way back through the generator head back into the prime mover or the driver or whatever you're using, whether it be an internal combustion engine or an electric motor to spin your generator head up. So what this system that I'm talking about is designed to do is literally step by step bypass all the problems that come along with it. First off, with the motor, the fan motor blowing onto the squirrel cage in that video, there is no direct couple between the prime mover and the generator head. So there's no potential for any back EMF to literally slow down the prime mover, which is the very first motor. So the worst case scenario in that deal is if you get back EMF, it actually slows the generator head down. However, it doesn't actually put a load on the prime mover, which is the first electric motor that is actually running the deal. So now, moving forward from the generator head, now if you can reduce the back EMF to its maximum to get the best performance out of it, then now you have a generator that to this point is more efficient than your average standard generator out there. Now, if anybody's ever done any research in mechanics or mechanicals, flywheels have been used in a lot of different machineries to overcome a little bit of force that is caused by putting something underneath the load. They're used in lawnmowers, they're used in tractors and hay balers and all kinds of stuff. And the idea is that when you get the centrifugal force going on a weighted flywheel, it will literally overcome that extra bit of force and help that machine work even easier. So imagine starting from step one, we got our electric motor that is turning our turbine, which is turning the turbine, which is blowing wind, into a squirrel cage, which is then in turn turning the generator. Now, on its own, once you put it under a load, the wind force that's being generated by the fan isn't enough to keep it up at its maximum RPMs. However, it doesn't stop. So the direct coupling is not the initial prime mover, which is the first motor, isn't being slowed down by the fact that the generator head is slowing down. So from that point, you take the generator head and you attach onto it a weighted flywheel that is actually standing under its own weight, so it would have its own bearing seats and its own axle, and it's just directly coupled to the squirrel cage, so it doesn't change the fact that it's really easy to get it to going. So worst case scenario, you have to give that little flywheel a little bit of spin to get it kind of started to give the wind a boost or whatever. But I don't think that's even going to be necessary. I believe that as long as the flywheel is perfectly balanced and horizontal, that it will actually start under its own power once you fire up the first fan. And so when that thing gets up to its maximum RPMs, and the flywheel will be assisting the squirrel cage to overcome the back EMF problem that's actually occurring to some extent from your load, depending on how you're going to be using that load from that point on. So now you've got, from start to finish, you've got an electric motor that is turning a high-powered fan, which is creating a vacuum on the opposite side and helping bring in the air into that, and spinning a squirrel cage, which in turn is turning, in this case, was the X13 motor, and getting that up to speed. Now we've added a weighted flywheel that will assist in it due to centrifugal force. When the faster that thing gets going, it's and that extra weight there, it will become easier for that fan to move the squirrel cage. So now we've got that as efficient as possible up to this point. Now in between that there, I'm going to be working on a plasma system that will actually change the frequency of the energy that is coming out just long enough to send it over to another side and reconvert that energy back into usable electricity, or current as you know it in standard electrical the way it functions. So that will, at that point, reduce all back EMF. So if you're never creating back EMF from the get-go, then you don't have to worry about that being one of the parts that actually drags that motor down. So from that point on, it's just as long as you can keep that fan up to speed and keep that going, whatever energy that generator head is capable of producing, it will produce that much. You're never putting the prime mover, which is the first blower fan, under any load or any stress. So if you can maintain a constant 110 to 120 volts AC, you can keep that motor running as long as it will hold up to its own natural use. Just like basically using it out in the yard, you know, sucking up leaves or something like that. So from that point there, we've got a generator head that is basically the prime mover not having to work hard, the generator head not having to work hard, absolutely no back EMF being allowed to generate a second field inside that generator head. And we're sending that energy into a different form, which is actually charging up capacitor banks and batteries that will in turn be able to be drawn off of from that point. You don't have to worry about no back EMF from that point. Now, even with a little bit of back EMF going on, that little bit of drag could be overcome by the centrifugal force of the weighted flywheel on the opposite side. That's basically how I believe that this system that they're talking about selling out there is basically designed. Now, keep in mind, I've never seen inside their system, so I don't know how exactly they've got it going on. But I want you to think a little bit farther than that. The video that I posted in the shazizradio.com/superchat.html room and the Awake Radio side actually shows some hydrogen going on. Now, imagine if you take that hydrogen and you're able to not only boil water but actually create steam at the same time. Now, you'll note in the video, if you watch this video, at one point he takes his camera up to the close to the flame, and what ends up happening is that his camera gets kind of fogged up from the steam that's actually coming off of the flame. So it's actually burning the water, and then the water, oxygen and hydrogen are actually recombining into moisture, which is in the form of steam, which in turn could be guided into a container that would actually capture it and cool it down even farther and basically condense it back into water. And then you could turn around and, if you wanted to, pipe that water right back into the same pot that you were using to boil the water to begin with. Or, you know, basically back into the same tank that you're using to generate the hydrogen to begin with. Either case. But now, what you got going on is not only do you have boiled water, but you actually have steam that has literally purified the water, and you could actually capture that into a containment unit that would be for fresh drinking water. So you're burning water to produce steam, which is assisting a turbine that is assisting a weighted flywheel that is assisting a squirrel cage being run by a fan, and you're not only generating electricity, but you're also generating heat via the hot water and generating fresh water via the exhaust of the hydrogen being burnt. Now, that all sounds pretty fantastic, and I can't understand for the life of me why it hasn't actually been done to this point, because what we're talking about here is solving multiple problems all in one single device. Now, you need electricity for third world countries. There's a perfect self-contained clean device that doesn't create any kind of pollution as this thing is being utilized. It is generating hot water, which can be used for a heat source. It is generating fresh water, which can be used for a life-giving source. And there you go. You can start off with some, you know, not so clean water and burn that for your hydrogen, for the power to heat up the water, to boil the water. The exhaust off of it can be converted back into actual fresh water. You're getting electricity for your lighting purposes and heating for your hot showers and your actual heat system. So basically what I'm seeing the potential is the actual perfect generator. Now, if anybody out there is understanding exactly what I'm saying and is interested in assisting me to actually build this deal, I'm going to build it myself with whatever I can get my hands on, just to prove that it will work. And I will get a video out there once this is accomplished. But if anybody wants to try to gather up what I would call the dream team and actually put together a really high-quality device and be able to pass these plans around to everybody and his brother from all nations, then I would be more than happy. But in the meantime, at least you got the knowledge right now to know that it can be done. It's not science fiction, it's science fact. Everything that we're talking about, none of it defies the laws of physics, and none of it, it's all proven science. None of it is science fact or science fiction. It's all science fact. It's not, like I said, it's not defying the laws of physics. You're just using everything to its best. You're using wind power to keep from having to directly couple your prime mover to the generator head, so there's no potential for the load to go back onto your initial power source, whichever that might be, like a nickel cadmium battery pack or nickel hydride or either lithium battery pack. And from all that point, you can actually put energy back into that. Now, if you also take in consideration that you could throw in a little bit of solar there as well, you could have solar power helping to maintain that battery. You can have wind power helping to maintain that battery, and multiple other sources out there, whether you got access to a stream or ocean waves or whatever, it will help to maintain that battery. And in no process of this entire deal are we doing anything that would harm nature or even put any kind of pollutants into the environment. It's the perfect generator. You're not defying any laws of physics. All you're doing is using everything that we know how machines work to be at its best. If you're not having no direct coupling between your prime mover and your generator head, then that's not a problem. If you have your generator head that is attached to a weighted flywheel that is using centrifugal force to literally overcome any back EMF that would be created, then there you go, that's even more efficient. And then from that point on, if you're actually using some of that energy that you're draining out to literally create hydrogen that you're in turn burning to create steam to help assist the weighted flywheel on the other side, then what you end up with is the perfect generator. It's far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. I'm going to build my version of it, and I'm hoping that everybody else out there does it as well. And when I get my design, I will get somebody who's really good at drafting and all the plans and put all that down on paper, CDs, post it all over the internet to everybody and his brother so that everybody can have this information. But if for some reason something goes wrong, know this, all you got to do is listen to all these past podcasts and hear what we've been saying all along, that you can take all these, instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, if you take and use solar power, you use wind power, there's two generating sources that you're not paying for. All right, you got to buy the solar cell, and you know, that aggravates me when people, they always say, well, it's not free, you got to buy the generator. It's free once you got the stuff together. All right, and there are options out there. If you don't have access to, a stream or something like that where you could use hydroelectrics, a big wind wheel, a water wheel or whatever, you know, if you got a strong, raging river going down right in your general vicinity or a waterfall, and you took one of them X13s and hooked it up to a big water wheel, I don't care how much back EMF you got going on, you'll overcome that, because the force that's coming from that falling water or running water is going to be quite more substantial than what the back EMF is creating. So you can overcome that load, as long as you don't have like a dead short or something like that, which you're not going to be having a dead short. So I'm stating it publicly. We have every single thing that we need right now to literally build the very first perfect free energy generator that we know of that is self-sustained, doesn't defy any laws of physics. It's actually, you know, so the guys on the other side, they ain't got nothing to argue about. You know, you can't do this because you got losses. Well, we are taking the losses away as we go. We're not allowing it to have those losses. And any losses that may occur anywhere in the system, we'll use that wasted energy towards something else. It's as simple as that. If you got something that's actually producing a little bit of heat that you want to disperse that heat and tack some Peltier elements to that and some heat sinks on the opposite side of the Peltier elements, we'll drain that heat off there and use it for something to run some gauges or a clock or something like that. So it's all doable. It's all right there if anybody's interested in in helping me make this a reality for everybody. I appreciate it, and we'll get together and figure out what we got. I'm going to continue to do what I do, move as long as fast as I can to prove it. But as far as I'm concerned, after all my research and everything I've done, it's a done deal. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, it's simple science. It's using everything that you know you got out there. There's a company out there that already, they say they already have built something similar to what it is that I'm talking about, and they'll sell it to you. You know, or they even said something about leasing for industrial, whatever. I'm talking about putting mine together with things that you can get off of the store shelf, and you can just put it together by yourself, and nobody's trying to sell nothing, so we're not messing with anybody's copyright issues. All we're doing is just using the knowledge that we got, putting our own deal together. So none of it came off of anybody else's plans, and with the exception of the ideas that were floated out there in the public. And you put an idea in front of a brilliant person, and then, hey, there you go. I posted in the chat room, today's show is about the potential of all ideas and how far you can take them. And that's what we're talking about right now. If you look out there at a lot of these videos and little how-tos and stuff, and all the different alternative energy researchers, and you see what they're doing, you know, everything from really tiny motors that are really super efficient, that are running off of capacitors or heat or whatever, then you take that idea and you add it in conjunction with all the other ideas together, and then you can see that it is fully possible to literally put together a free, clean, renewable, green energy, whatever you want to call it, alternative energy generation system that burns absolutely no fossil fuels. It's self-contained, will charge itself. You know, hey, whether people out there say perpetual motion is possible or not possible, that's neither here nor there to me. I'm not trying to prove perpetual motion, where, you know, if this system was done the way that I believe it could be done, I literally believe it would run until you shut it off. That's all there is to it. But it just uses basic electrical knowledge. It uses knowledge of Lenz's law and Faraday's law and all the different known laws of physics and so on and so forth. Basically uses it, that knowledge, to know what not to do. You know that if you put a generator under a load, well, you're going to create back EMF that's going to go back into there, because anytime you create a magnetic field inside of a copper wire, it creates an instantaneous opposing field. That the stronger that field, the field number one gets, the stronger field number two gets, and there's a counteracting force that wants to slow it down. They call that back EMF. Alright, so if you know this is going to happen, then you stop it before it ever even gets that point. You know, when you're spinning a rotor in between coils of wire, you're going to create energy flow. Regardless of whether you're using it or not, you're going to create energy flow. And up until the point where you flip the switch and complete the circuit back to that generator, you have absolutely no back EMF. However, that energy flow is still there. Now, Raymond and I did a few tests when he was out here with that X13, and we were able to literally create plasma without absolutely no back EMF. And the only time that the back EMF even occurred was when the little heat element inside the fluorescent bulb starter finally got hot enough to actually make the circuit. And then you can hear an instantaneous drop in when the back EMF acted as a brake on the generator head, and the tungsten element incandescent light bulb came on. All right? And so I knew right then and there, as long as you could keep it in the plasma state and move that energy in the opposite direction to whatever storage unit you decide to use, that you would not get any back EMF whatsoever. Now, see, there is energy going on inside that plasma chamber right there. Well, you can actually see visible light. And also within that plasma chamber, you have heat being created. Thus, the thermal switch that was inside there was able to heat the metal up and bend it over to actually create the circuit for the electricity to run direct through the system. We don't want it running direct through the system because that's where the back EMF occurs. And so, knowing that there's heat inside there, that plasma creates heat and visible light. Light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. You can literally design your plasma reactor with some coiled tubing inside there that when the plasma surrounds that will actually heat whatever liquid you put inside that tubing. And at that point, actually create absolutely no back EMF into that generator head. You'll be able to heat whatever liquid you put into there. And if my calculations are correct, the hotter that plasma gets, you can start to be able to actually create instantaneous steam as let's say water coming in through that tube, hits that tube and automatically turns to steam, just like a coffee pot would be doing, you know, and percolating. So, if that's indeed the case, now you're moving that energy from what was normally the AC into the plasma state and now into a heat transfer going out into the opposite direction. And so absolutely no back EMF has been created to this point. None. So the generator head would be freewheeling. The motor with the fan that's actually below in the squirrel cage would be freewheeling. You have the weighted flywheel on the opposite side of the squirrel cage, which is assisting the squirrel cage and making it so that the whatever energy you have from the fan, none of the energy is being transferred back into the deal. So, hold on, I got a message in here. Oh, sorry, folks. This is not good for radio. I'm gonna do something here. Alright, apologize for that. I'm gonna throw on a quick song and see if I can bring somebody up in here on the show live. So, let me see what we got as far as tunes going on. I'll just throw this one right here. That's good enough for the moment. Stay tuned, you're listening to Mad Science. Peace and love, everybody.
celebration of a natural kind. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. Being in the house tonight, move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. That's freaks, don't freak in the end, oh, freaks, don't freak in the house tonight. Move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. That's freaks, don't freak in the end, oh, everybody will be dancing to the beat on the floor. You relate counter situations never thought of before. Satisfaction guaranteed, if you know what I mean. And when you walk into that door, it's such a freaky scene. In the house tonight, move your body from left to right. To all you bring the pop around, interested in the words I speak. We will be rocking like this every night of the week. And all you fellas, tell the ladies, don't stop the rock, because you know that we'll be jamming all around the clock. And what did I see? No girls were wearing leather skirts and see-through jeans. I asked the DJ to tell me what was going on. He said, freestyle's having a freak-a-thon. Your body from left to right, to all you freaks, don't stop the rock, a freak-a-thon. In the house and we'll be rocking tonight. So bring your body with you, baby, and I'll make you feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. Don't speak in the mouth tonight. Move that body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. Don't blow your mind. Don't speak in the mouth tonight. Move that body from left to right. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind.
Continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science on ShazizRadio.com. I've been joined by Pastor William. Is that Barhorst?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm lucky I spelt that right. You know, I'm from the sticks, so us rednecks got that little bit of accent going on. Anyway, what I'm talking about today, I posted up there in the chat room. If I scroll up there and see what it was I said. Today's show is about the potential of all ideas and how we can take them, how far we can take them. I posted a video link up in there of a man that's burning hydrogen to boil water, and it's what's really amazing about this specific video is how quickly that water begins to boil as soon as he puts it on top of the stove that he's using. And so with that said, I also posted a video called X13 Fun over at my YouTube channel over there on Shaziz Mad Science over there. It just Google Shaziz, you'll find my YouTube channel and check out the video X13. But essentially what that is a motor that came out of an air conditioner. And there's a lot of really impressive motors out there. They call stator motors or direct drive motors or... there's a bunch of different names for them. What the actual terminology for it, I'm not sure. I just call it a stator motor because that's exactly what it is. But either way, the potential energy that these things have the capabilities of are amazing. And so the problem with every single generator out there as it stands right now is back EMF, and all the alternative energy guys figure if you can get if you can overcome the back EMF, then you can build a self-charging generator. So what I'm talking about doing, and what I done in that specific video, was I took a weed eater mulcher, which is essentially looks like a little leaf blower, but it's not. It's a vacuum that you actually suck the leaves up, and it chops them up, puts them into a bag, and I'm using that for my prime mover as a fan. So I'm basically using it backwards, kind of using the Venturi effect to suck air in one side, blow air out the other side across the squirrel cage, which in turn is connected to an X13 motor, which is turning it as a generator head. All right, and so I show in this video where you can actually get this thing to produce a pretty good amount of electricity, but once again, then now you have to deal with the back EMF. The normal generator head, when you put it underneath a load, and I keep saying back EMF, but for those folks out there that don't understand what that means, is as simple as this. When the generator is turning, it's creating a current flow, and until you actually close that circuit and those electrons can make a completed path through, let's say, your light bulb back into the generator, Lenz's law talks about every time you induce a current in electrical wire, it automatically, instantaneously produces an opposing current in the wire, which is trying to go in the opposite direction and balance itself back out, and that's what slows your generator down. So the trick is to never even get to that point. Don't allow the electrical flow to actually go back in there. But moving back a bit from the generator head back to the prime mover, which is the weed eater blower motor that I'm using to actually turn the squirrel cage, there's no direct coupling between the two. So there's no potential of energy transfer from one to the other. When you put it under a load as it stands right now, you do get a little slowing of the squirrel cage, which slows down the amount of voltage that you're actually generating on the other side. However, none of that energy is transferred back into slowing the prime mover, which is the fan, down on the other side. So as long as you can maintain a constant 120 volts AC, then you can keep that prime mover moving at its normal speed without getting overheated or overworked. And so from that point, we go into the generator head, and we need to be able to assist the generator head, which never comes to a complete stop even when it's put underneath the load, but it does slow it down enough to make a difference in the output of the voltage. So from that point, we're taking that generator head and we're going to put a 50 to 60 pound weighted flywheel that will be actually standing on its own legs, just directly coupled to the squirrel cage fan itself. So once that thing gets to moving in centrifugal force, will help to overcome any potential back EMF that's coming back that way. So worst case scenario at this point, we have a super efficient motor generator kind of thing going on, and then we're going to move that energy from that point to a different state so that we can now be able to use it as a normal electricity like we use it today. And the video that I showed inside there, posted over there at the shazizradio.com/superchat.html, also has the Awake Radio chat there. And basically, the video shows about hydrogen and the heat of that going on. So imagine taking these two ideas, these two potential ideas, and put them in conjunction with one another so that now you're producing not only electricity, but you're producing hot water and you're producing fresh water at the same exact time. What I'm saying to everybody out there is that we actually have every single piece of the puzzle to literally right now, with all the existing technology that we got, literally build the perfect generator that is not only self-contained, but clean running. The only exhaust coming out of the deal is fresh water, and the heat that is generated from the deal could boil your water, heat your water, or even heat your house at the same exact time. And so it's essentially all-in-one generating system. And if you do need any extra energy coming in there, well, you tack on a solar panel onto your battery bank, or you tack a wind generator or a hydro turbine from your local stream or a waterfall or whatever. Now you have a generator that is completely self-contained, and no matter what's going on out there in the environment, it's not putting any pollutions in. It's just using what nature has provided for you in a clean, efficient manner. So have I lost you there, brother?
Not at all, bro. I'm right here.
All right, so you said in there to tell them about the hard drives that you got to produce the energy too. And that's another one of the keys to this whole deal. If you go back and you see that video, I can't remember what the name of that one was, but essentially I took a hard drive motor and I spun it up with a Dremel tool and a little buffer wheel. And
that was cute.
Yeah. And so if you actually take apart and look inside those hard drive motors, there isn't very much copper wire in there at all. And the magnets that are in there are nothing more than a little ceramic ring magnet. That's it. And what is creating the energy that's coming out of there is something a whole lot different than what we were told as far as how electricity actually functions. And the amount of energy that is able to be created out of there. And see, I keep saying created, and that goes against the laws of physics, because under the conservation of energy, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. All we're doing is moving it from point A to point B. And the copper wire inside of any motor or generator is nothing more than railroad tracks. It's just a guidance system. You just send it where you want. You send that magnetic field in the direction that you want it to go, and that's as simple as that. But the key is, if you got that, even that X13, if you got that up to some extremely high RPMs, like 5,000 and over, it would produce such a massive amount of energy that it'd be mind-boggling and potentially dangerous. But it's all there, brother. Every single bit. And you were talking earlier about doing some foundry work. Man, using all this stuff in conjunction with what you're trying to accomplish there as well, you could not only melt your metal, but you could also use that heat off of there for other purposes at the same exact time. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do. I mean, I don't know if you saw my video on YouTube that I got my van to actually run on vapor. I made a bubbler, and if anybody wants the link, I'll put it in there.
Throw it in the chat room, or throw it in Skype, and I'll ship it over there, because, yeah, that's something that you should talk to Raymond about, too, because he was also talking about pretty much the same thing. They got these sonic vaporizers nowadays that are like $26, and it basically puts the water in a really super fine fog. And if anybody ever out there happened to notice that during the times when you're driving your car out, when it's foggy outside, your car for some reason seems to run better. Seems like it has more horsepower. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's because it's sucking in the HHO from the water. And what I did was I took a regular, you know how you have them water dispensers with the 5-gallon jugs on them?
Yeah.
I took one of them. And I put a series of holes around the top of it, and I put some tubes down in it, and I stuffed all kinds of stainless steel wool and some T-shirts and everything else, and some rags to prevent the splash up as I was creating the bubbles, like an aerator, if you will. And then I had a discharge hose, which I hooked up to my intake manifold. And it was just sucking up all the vapors. That was everything from, you know, mixed motor, used motor oil to diesel, a little bit of gasoline, and mostly water. And what it does is, as it heats up, it extracts some of the HHO out, because, you know, the liquids don't burn. When you take anything, you know, I'm a diesel mechanic by trade. If you take anything and you spray it, you're basically atomizing it and trying to forcefully convert it into a vapor so it burns. So it's the fumes that burn. So what you're doing, in reality, what I did with my van was create the vapors a lot faster and a lot more volume, so that it's burning the vapors. And the vapors, you can pull more vapor out of fuel than you can if you burn the fuel oil. That's why you get such a high MPG, miles per gallon. And like I said, I mean, I'm getting well over 300 miles a gallon when I have this thing connected to my van. And people don't believe it, you know, and I'll tell
you. Well, I believe it. The doggone guys out there at the tractor pulls, and I learned it from a farmer. My father-in-law was a farmer, and he said that back in the day that they used to, when they got their tractors up to operating temperature, they would inject a fine mist of water into the tractors and save a massive amount of fuel. That's back when fuel was, prices were going. Well, of course, when I say fuel prices back then were high, it was high to them. I mean, if we had their fuel prices today.
5 cents, 7 cents, and 8 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
And back then, Shell Oil Company was working with a gentleman that built a carburetor for a vehicle that he had. And the guy was putting a patent on it and everything else. Well, you know, Shell Oil Company bought the rights. I just saw a video on this a couple of months ago. And I got all the links saved, and if anybody wants them, I can show them to you. Well, Shell Oil Company bought the rights to this, and they tested it and everything else. They tested it on a 1941 Buick, I believe it was, which back then weighed as much as today's Hummers. All right?
Yeah, they were army tanks back then.
Yeah, and I've had a few vehicles like that myself. I had a 49 Caddy and everything that we used to do, demolition derby and everything all the way and all. But this Buick was getting 150 miles a gallon. And the video is back up on YouTube about all of this. And it's astounding. And I do also have an HHO bubbler. I make my own HHO. And I got inspired a lot of this. I don't know if a lot of you heard about a guy by the name of Tyson Campbell. He's out there. He's on my YouTube page also. And he's the one that got me started with this, because he was running some of his lawn equipment with this vaporizing system. And I did that, and man, it worked. You know, my lawnmowers, one of my lawnmowers, I had it running on vapor. And then I said, well, if it runs on this, you know, being a car mechanic, it'll run on my van too. So I hooked it up. First shot, it worked. It worked. And, you know, I challenge anybody to come out here. I'll give them $10,000 if they can prove this wrong.
Well, and, they're not going to be able to prove it wrong because it's valid science. I mean, I've been saying it forever and a day. You know, a gallon of gas should take you clear across the globe and back. If you're running that gallon of gas as vapor, as opposed to everybody out there who's ever almost ever ran out of gas, knows that at the very last second, right before your car uses up the very last, when it's running on fumes, as they say, runs better than it does it when it's got a full tank. I mean, it's proven science that things will combust better when they're in the smallest form. And so, what
have
you're
you
talking about doing,
Stan Meyer?
Huh?
Have you ever heard of Stan Meyer?
Oh yeah, I talk about Stan Meyers all the time. He was running a dune buggy on water back in the 70s, you know. And I keep trying to tell everybody how he was doing it, but you know, trying to get people to pay attention is a total different thing. You know, he wasn't doing direct electrolysis like normal people do when they're doing, water, when they're doing their hydrogen cells, like two plates and DC current. All right. He was actually using basically radio waves to separate that hydrogen and oxygen, you know, at least turn it into a vapor, then shoot it with a high voltage spark across there and be able to ignite that on demand. And that's why
that's
he was so successful.
Yeah, but it's more expensive that way. I mean, the way that we do it now, I mean, it's so easy. All you got to do is make a bubbler, and it produces your hydrogen for you. And,
yeah.
I got one. I made mine with, I saw a guy, he made his with a sock and some steel wool, and of course some, you know, copper wires, scrubby stainless steels, you know, pot scrubbers. And you can get them at a dollar store, like six for a buck. And I made mine bigger. I instead of using one pot scrubber, I used six pot scrubbers. And instead of a sock, I used two sleeves from a shirt. And one gets a positive charge, one gets a negative charge. You put 12 volts into it with distilled water. Distilled water is nothing but rainwater, folks. You don't have to buy it. You just add some baking soda to it, seal it all up, put your charge in it, and bam, you're making HHO. And with the amazing thing with HHO is that it produces such a unique type of heat that you can actually weld aluminum to steel, which is chemically impossible.
Have you tried, and you might want to stay real close to your mic because you kind of fade in and out there a little bit. Have you tried using seltzer water that you can buy at the store for like 79 cents a 2 liter, whatever, basically fizzy water or carbonated water?
No, I haven't, but I heard about that, and I was going to try that as well. But,
yeah, I did some hydrogen test, and I used carbonated water in there, and it seemed to, you didn't have to put like sodium or anything in there with it, just that carbonated water was enough to do it.
Yeah, because that already has the salts in it.
Yeah. But either way, you know, like what you're saying there, look, this is technology is already out there. Raymond, whenever he's down here for his visit, he brought this little sonic vaporizer with him, and it basically built the fog, and that fog right there is perfect for what it is we're talking about. And so essentially for $26, you could take that deal right there and build pretty much the same exact system that you're talking about. And there's a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator that will show you how to get 120 volts AC out of your doggone alternator just by
alternator or generator, right?
Yeah. So if you're running 120 volts AC off your generator, your alternator, and you can still use that same exact alternator to run all your DC portions of it, you know, just you got a before your rectifier. Then that's where your AC is going to be coming out. So there you go, man. You got the AC already coming out of your alternator, and you got the DC to charge your batteries back up. Or if you don't want to go through all that hassle, just use an inverter. They sell plenty of inverters that run small appliances that don't drain very much that would run that vaporizer, you know?
Yeah. Another thing is, what I wanted to do a little bit of research on, I don't know if you ever heard, but back in the day, television repairmen with the old television tubes, the old tube televisions and stuff, before they went to solid state, even the newer ones, the solid state ones, had one in it. It was called an oscillating tube. And these things produced so much energy in them, they were contained in a separate box inside your TVs because, I mean, them things would produce a heck of a jolt at your regular 110. And I think it was like 3,000 volts or something or other that these things were produced. So I've been trying to find one, but I've been a little busy helping some fire victims and homeless vets and stuff. But these things, I mean, I want to get one and, you know, see how I can hook it up to, you know, produce some more energy with that as well, and, you know, work this all in line with everything else.
Well, stick around and we'll troubleshoot all this together, man, because, I'm telling you what, this is an exciting time to be around the alternative energy, because there's so many different things coming out that, you know, I'm telling everybody out there, we're there. We are flat out there. We got every single piece of the puzzle we need to do what it is that we need to do. And as far as those tubes, when you was telling me about those tubes, I was thinking about, I go to flea markets a lot to look for used electrical and stuff like that, and I found an old car radio. And it didn't dawn on me until this point. But you remember back in the days, I mean, maybe personally you probably don't remember back in the days, but you know of, that they used to use tube-type radios inside of cars, and some of the cars had 6-volt systems, and other cars had 12-volt systems. But either way, you just took and run a household, essentially a household console stereo on your either 6 or 12-volt system.
So sure. Even your old CB radios, you had your old, I mean, I had an old two-job radio. It was a Johnson 223,
yeah,
base station. And, I mean, it took a good 5-10 minutes for that thing just to warm up. And then I also had a friend that made me some linears, which are, people that don't know what a linear is, it's a power booster for radio signal waves.
Yeah.
And it would increase your output and your input. And these things were, I mean, it would took a few minutes to do that, but I had a 500-watt linear kicking over a 1,500-watt linear, and those were all old tube jobs.
Yeah, my guess is that oscillating tube that you're trying to find is probably inside of one of them old car radios.
Yeah, they're in them too. Anything that had the old tube jobs, they definitely had the oscillators in them, but they were still using them with the solid-state ones, and I went to a heating supply store day before yesterday, and I was looking through some of their inventory, and they had a whole bunch of condensers in there too, that, you know, hold energy better and work better as a battery than batteries do.
Yeah, capacitors and condensers are amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, either way, it's as simple as that. You know, I'm trying to put together what I classify as the dream team of people, individuals that are willing to, you know, try to work together on this. And what I want everybody out there to understand is I'm not asking for any donations. I've never asked for any donations. I'm not asking for any money. All I'm asking is for people to come together and pull our resources together to literally build what it is that we've been talking about. I mean, if you take any idea out there, any potential idea out there, if you can just so much as be able to get your automobile engine to run off of systems like Pastor William's talking about, then now you have a generating system that don't have to have a lot of fuel. You see where I'm going with that?
Then here's the other thing. You can have a good potential income, because right now I got people screaming at me because they want me to perfect one for their vehicles. I mean, I got people that have fleets of trucks for their businesses, and they want me to do that. And you can, you know, simply set it up. And if you want, you can even set it up to have residual income. You know, if they're spending $5,000 a month in fuel for their company, tell them you want $100 per vehicle.
Well, and that's the key. What you just said is the key, because see, I don't accept any donations, but I'm not saying I'm opposed to anybody making any money off of the deal, because there are going to be individuals out there that don't know how to build this stuff, and right. You could provide a service. So you're not going to be taking away the potential to make a living off of the knowledge, but what I want is that I put this information out there to the world for free, because I advertise free energy, and I flat out mean it. I mean, the knowledge is there. Now, if somebody wants to hire me or somebody else to make a specific part because I'm good at it, whatever it is that they need, or you know, I don't mind doing like that, because I've actually bought Slayer exciters from other people out there that put those things together for my research purposes, only because, not because I couldn't do it myself, but because they were either better at it or it was a time convenience kind of thing. So there is a potential income deal there. You know, if you are really good with your hands and you got tools, a 3D printer or CNC machine, and you're able to manufacture parts, and we pull our resources together, if Pastor Williams needs a part for his bubbler system and you can print it out there on your 3D printer, you know, there you go. You got a connection going on. This is what my friend Thomas Anderson's been talking about for quite some time, is networking. You know, I don't always have all the tools that I need to make stuff, but if we put all these people together and we put this information down there on the table for everybody to look at, then you might have a missing piece of the puzzle. You see what I'm saying? You still there? Uh-oh. Looks like we might have lost him there. Are you back? He's having a little bit of microphone difficulties. That's modern technology for you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Can you come a little closer to the mic?
All right. Yeah, I'm right on top of it.
There you go. You're good now.
All right. Yeah, I mean, all we're doing is what they did back before we had money, and that's bartering, you know, for what one person has. We're talking basically just knowledge that we're sharing with each other. You know, the Indians betrayed a fur coat or some bows and arrows for a knife or something like that. And that's what we're doing. We're sharing information with each other. And I have a whole bunch of people in my network that I'm going to try and bring in here to do all of this too. You know, from Tyson Campbell and John, what's his name? He's the one that does a lot of the anti-gravity stuff. The Infinite Age.
Hey, and on the anti-gravity, I'm not going to say nothing just yet, but I saw something really cool whenever I had that doggone thing running off the AC mains, and then I hit it the same time with a generator. That deal that was in that last video, that thing got up and walked across the yard. Anyway, your microphone is really, really shorting out bad on that side, brother.
A lot of people don't realize what Nikola Tesla is doing for this world, you know?
Oh, he's done so much more than people realize.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, hey, your microphone's cool. Great right there, so stay right where you're at.
All right, brother.
Anyway, that if you want to bring your network over here to have a sit down in the Mad Science with us, and we do the same thing, this is how this is all working, folks. Between Awake Radio and 1800 Online and People to People Radio and Tinosaur Radio and all the different networks that are affiliated with us, we've been broadcasting and rebroadcasting and sharing streams and sharing information back and forth for quite some time. And this is how you get it done. This is what we need. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the Bible tells us that in the latter days, in the end times, that all this stuff is going to be revealed. And it's very simply put together, because with the internet, you know, the powers that be can't prevent this information from being shared. And that's what they were doing. They were buying up all our systems and technologies from people. Like, you know, like I said, that went into the Shell Oil Company and they tore up that carburetor and just buried it. Because it was getting 150 miles a gallon when gasoline was only 5 cents a gallon. And look at the price of gasoline now.
Well,
if we made the money in banks that the fuel oil companies made in the way that it graduated over the years, we'd all be billionaires.
if what you were talking about right there is the key to why I've been doing my Mad Science Channel the way that I'm doing it. See, I'm not putting it out there one big fat chunk at a time. I'm putting it out there one idea at a time. And so anybody with a brilliant mind can take that idea and run with it. Because every single alternative energy device out there had a reason why these folks believed that it was either reaching over unity or 0 point or whatever. And I'm not even looking to get over unity or 0 point. All I'm doing is advertising free energy. Because like I said, when's the last time you ever got a bill from the sun or the wind for that matter, or the local stream or river or the waves coming in off of ocean? What I'm talking about doing is taking the energy that nature has already provided. It's as simple as you getting in a canoe and riding down the river. You haven't taken away, created, nor destroyed any of that potential energy. All you did was use what nature had already provided to go for a ride. You see what I mean?
Yep, amen.
So, you know, with that said, you know, this is what we're talking about, folks. I don't know what's going on with your microphone, but it's got a terrible shortage. Then you grab the wire and hold it in one place or something, a piece of tape and tape it up or something.
Yeah, I got to stop it from moving around. Somebody just sent me a text on my phone.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're doing good. Freeze right there. So,
yeah,
we'll
do.
Yeah, that's you know, I'm kind of tethered to a microphone on this side over here because I use two separate radio or two separate computers, one for Skype so that the Sam doesn't get bogged down or whatever. But anyway, I gotta be careful or I'll fall over my own microphone. But anyway, yeah.
What state do you live in, brother?
Yeah, Missouri.
Missouri. Yeah, we're going to have to try and make a trip out there, and I'll run out there, and I'll video record it with my vehicle using the vapor system, showing everybody, and then when I arrive, I'm going to have you check it out to show everybody, the fuse is out for the fuel pump and everything else, and we're running just on the vapor, just like I did with the video that's on YouTube.
Yep. Well, what's that
thing? I want to come out there. I got to get a Tesla coil from you, or help me build one, or you know, help me get the parts or whatever, so I can build one. Because, like I said, I thank God for my disability, because you know, I mean, He made me become homeless so that I have compassion to help people. Because He was homeless, He said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, me the Son of Man, no place to rest my head." And from the day He was born, He was homeless. Yeah, they had a home in Bethlehem, but when they were over doing the census, they were homeless because there was no room for them in the inn. So they were homeless for that period.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I beat it all up to what Jesus said, you know, the greatest commandment it's called, and the Great Commission. And that's whatsoever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. And that's helping people in need, is because you're doing it for Christ. And that's what I do, and that's why I want to give all of this free energy, so that I, when people can't afford electric and stuff, and the energy companies threaten to turn them off, well, turn them off. I'll build them a Tesla coil. You know, and then now they'll be making money off of them, because by law, all the energy companies across the country have to buy any excess energy that you produce.
Yeah, well, see, what I'm talking about doing is essentially I want to be able to help folks in third world countries that can't have access to clean, fresh water and have access to electricity. I want to help them to be self-contained so that they can enjoy, you know, some comforts that everybody else in the world's enjoying. It's all there. Every bit of the information that we need to literally build the perfect, clean, free energy, alternative energy, self-containing, all the different high-tech words that they like to use for renewable energy or whatever, green energy, it's there. And if you folks out there believe in what it is that we're talking about and you want to help out, you know, it's as simple as if you got a tool that I don't have, then maybe you could help me make a part or whatever, and let's just do it. You know, it's as simple as that. I'm going to continue to build on my side with whatever I can get my hands on. Most generally, everything in my mad science lab and all the alternative energy devices that I've built to this day have been made out of, you know, recycled materials. And so, you know, we're not talking about something that's going to create harmful side effects to people. We're talking about something that is literally going to use what nature has already provided, you know, the wind, you know. Could you imagine what you could do with the power of a tornado? And you put that power of a tornado into a box, and now you got something amazing going on.
Yeah,
right?
Amen.
And all of these things, what I'm talking about doing right here, none of them defy any of the laws of physics, so there's nothing for that side of the realm to complain about. As far as environmental, when you burn hydrogen, what you get out the other side is water. That's as simple as that. You know, you're not putting out any hydrocarbon, so that shuts that section of the crowd up. And all we're talking about doing is using everything, all the basic science, using all the laws of physics to know what not to do. If you're going to have problems with back EMF, then don't create back EMF. Use the knowledge that you know how to avoid that altogether. So if you listen to how I explained that generating system, where it started off with a blower motor that was actually using the Venturi effect, because this blower motor was essentially a vacuum. That's what it does. It sucks leaves up off the deal. I'm going to see if I can add my buddy Muddy Mudman in here. Okay, let me
see. And then
see.
The other thing is, like with this vapor system that I have on my van, your system stays cleaner because there's no you're not burning any, there's no waste material. So now also, even out of the exhaust is no more carbon dioxide. It's 100% pure oxygen.
Yep.
I am just breathing it to show everybody that it's pure oxygen.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, all that knowledge, it's all there. Every single bit of it.
Yeah, but the powers that be don't want it. You know, our government wants fuel oil companies to, you know, they say, oh, yeah, we've got to reduce, you know, our fuel consumption and everything else, and we've got to stop America from being dependent on foreign oil and blah, blah. Well, we have the technology. Our government has actually killed Steve Myers because he had a dune buggy that ran on water.
Stan Myers.
They put Paul Pantone in jail. They put... Dennis Lee in jail?
Well, here's the thing, brother. You know. I'm going to tell you how to get around that. I'm going to tell everybody exactly how to get around all that, and it's as simple as this. If you're trying to sell it, then that's when the government gets involved. If you ain't trying to sell it, don't ask for permission, just build it. We'll ship you the plans, you build it. If you need some help for somebody else to build it, then you pay them for their services, and they'll build it for you. It's that simple. We the people.
Well, the reason why they killed Steve Myers was because Stan Myers was sharing his information with everybody, so that they could also have the same system that he has.
And no, it went deeper than that, because it went deeper than that because basically they asked him about running that in their equipment, and he was wanting to not make it for military purposes. He wanted to market it himself. And so is when he told him no, that suddenly a perfectly healthy man has a heart attack, you know. And we all know how that works. You know, people die of lead poisoning every day. But either way, the mistake that the majority of all these alternative energy guys out here have made is I don't begrudge anybody from trying to earn a living off of their designs. And if that's, you know, if you can do that. But once you get into the realm of energy, where you're now dipping into the wallets of the so-called elite or whatever, that's where it gets dangerous. And so if you put that information just out there on the table for the average Joe to be able to use, then you're doing what it is you said you were doing. And you can still earn a living by, you know, making things for people, you know. So
Tesla, he created ways, and these are some of his secrets, that he wound up taking some of the information and gave some to one government, some to another government, and some to another government, so they would offset each other, so that nobody would be a supreme power, because he had ways of actually controlling the weather.
Oh, yeah, that's...
create that, you know, by creating tornadoes and, you know, tsunamis, and this is the technology that this man Nikola Tesla stumbled upon, and he didn't want man to have it because it was too dangerous. Look what happened when we wound up with the hydrogen bomb and everything else, you know. All of these technologies, instead of using them for the good, they wound up using them for the bad. And that's what Nikola Tesla was afraid of.
Yeah, your microphone's really messing up there. Hey, buddy, how you doing there, brother?
Oh, doing all right. Good morning to you.
Have you been listening in to what we were talking about, or are you just kind of jumping in blind?
Jumping in blind, just got home.
All right, well, let me explain what I was talking about earlier. And Pastor Williams there, he's doing some hydrogen stuff with, he's building a bubbler that's making a vaporizer that he's helping to run his vehicle, which is really good information. But prior to that, I was talking about the perfect generator. We have every single thing that we need to literally build the perfect generator. If you saw that last video that I did, I took a weed eater. Basically, it's a mulcher. You suck leaves up on, and it chops the leaves up and dumps them into a bag. Well, instead of using it for its original purposes, I'm reusing it backwards to literally create the Venturi effect, to suck air in one side and blow that air into a squirrel cage fan, which in turn is turning an X13 motor, generating electricity. Now, when you put it underneath a load, you'll notice that while the fan doesn't stop, it does slow down. And so from the generator head to the prime mover, which is the weed eater, there is no direct coupling, so the weed eater never slows down. Now, in order to ensure that the squirrel cage doesn't slow down either, and to assist it, I'm going to add a flywheel system that will be standing on its own legs that will be connected to the same shaft as the squirrel cage. So once you get that up and the centrifugal force takes over, it will help to overcome any back EMF that you get from that point. And from that point on, it's just a matter of how we're going to use that energy, whether we're going to be using it direct via a bridge rectifier to make DC, or whether we're going to be using it direct to pull AC off. Now, my idea that I'm working on is to literally, instead of creating the back EMF at all from the get-go, is to take the high voltage that's being generated from that and turn argon gas into the plasma state. And one thing that is going on in the plasma is that it creates heat. Now, as long as you're creating plasma, me and Raymond actually did this while we were here. As long as you're creating plasma, you have absolutely no back EMF bogging that motor down. And we know that it was heat going on inside there because there's a little thermal switch inside there that whenever it gets up to the right temperature will literally cause the metal to make contact and make the circuit to light off of a regular incandescent light bulb. And then you can hear that instantaneously bogged down of the motor as that back EMF just got created. So if we take that concept and take the switch out, the thermal switch that actually creates, allows the electrical flow to go directly back into that motor, and just use the plasma in itself. And you can visualize, if you have a copper tubing coil inside of a plasma chamber, that when you produce that plasma, it will heat the inside, and whatever liquids you run through that tubing will get heated. And so, with that said, you can literally move that energy into a completely different form, whether it be plasma or whether it be heat, move it away from the generator without ever creating the back EMF. So now from the generator head back to the prime mover, which is the blower motor, you have a 100% efficient deal with no potential for any of that energy to transfer from the load to the generator head, to the electric motor, and then on back into your amp, which eventually will, or your power supply, which eventually throw the breaker because it's too bogged down. So now we got the blower motor, a squirrel cage fan, a weighted flywheel system, a plasma reaction, and then if you look into the chat room, you'll notice that there is a video in there that has to do with hydrogen. And what's impressive about this video is that In the video, the man shows while he's burning hydrogen to boil water, at the moment he puts that pan on that deal, that water almost instantaneously starts to boil. And so that idea perfected on in conjunction with what we're talking about, you could literally build a steam turbine system to where now you had a generator. And there was also a comment in the chat room by Stephen Gibbons who said that even after the first test, that he could see that the water was still warmer than it was initially, that it retained a little bit of heat for a while. But anyway, so now you have the potential to literally take some of the energy off of the energy you just created to produce hydrogen, and take that hydrogen and burn it and create steam and actually purify some water at the same time, because as he moved his camera close to the flame of that, you could see that his camera fogged up, and it's from the steam that was being produced by the hydrogen burning. So now you have the potential to build a self-contained generator that will produce heat and fresh water all at the same time. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but the blower motor going to the scroll cage loses a lot of efficiency.
Well, and that's where it needs to be improved upon.
You could make that, you are dealing with plasma. But I saw a video out there where this guy, or basically heard about it, where the guy was creating plasma off the end, a big old plasma ball off the end of the spark plug. And basically he was using the lawnmower, and he had it at idle, and it was just kind of purring along. And when he put the high voltage to make the plasma off the end of the spark plug, that thing revved up real high, and then he could adjust it out to where it was using almost no gas. Now, if you pair that X13 with that bat.
Well, and that's what I was also talking about. Pastor Williams, could you mute your mic for a bit?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. Okay, when you're using that hydrogen and you're building steam, you could actually, on the opposite side of that flywheel, build a steam turbine where you can take and put some of that steam energy into assisting not only the weighted flywheel but the squirrel cage itself. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. So that steam can be turned in with that plasma ball, turns instantly to hydrogen oxygen and burns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see pretty good connections where you could make a loop.
So.
And if you're gonna do it with something, I imagine hydrogen. My goodness, that's a heck of a flame.
I actually, for giggles.
I think what made that thing rev up was the extra heat.
I actually, for giggles, while I was out there running this thing, I pulled the plug on the AC power source and tried to put the plug as fast as I could down into the outlet that I was pulling the juice off of the generator. And that thing, you could hear it surge as it tried to run itself for a brief second there. Now, the time that it took me to unplug it to try to get the plug into the other deal was too long. And so, if you could get that doggone weighted flywheel up to RPMs, which would hold that voltage long enough to switch that over to that other plug, I believe that thing would run itself for at least a few minutes before it finally bogged itself down.
Right.
So, with that said, now you got a battery bank that you're actually running your initial prime mover, which would be the blower motor. And all you have to do is keep that battery bank charged up. So you drain a little bit of juice off of the generator and throw in some wind turbines or some solar power, and you can literally keep that doggone battery bank charged up long enough to actually keep that thing a running even after after the sun goes down. You see what I mean?
Yeah, sounds great.
So it's all there. Every single piece of it. I mean, it's just a matter of bringing everybody together and actually building, a prototype, and then showing everybody how we did it. It's that simple.
Yeah, some people say, well, it can't be accomplished because you can't do over Unity. Well, you're not. You're actually making the fuel out of water as well.
Yeah.
And we're not.
And we're not trying to defy any laws of physics. We're not trying to get over unity, nor are we trying to get 0 point. We're just using the laws of physics to know what not to do, like Lenz's law. If you know that as soon as you put a generator under a head that under a load that it's going to cause back EMF and slow that motor down, then what you do is move that energy without causing the back EMF. And as long as you don't put it under a direct load, then it will never get back EMF. And the way to keep it from going under a direct load is that you actually use the plasma to change that energy that's coming from the generator to a different form of energy that is not recognized by the generator, so that field can't be created to begin with. And if you do get a little bit of back EMF, that's where the weighted flywheel comes into play, because the centrifugal force generated by that weighted flywheel will, the faster you get it going, will assist to overcome any back EMF that you got going on. And then from that point on, whatever hydrogen that you're producing, either using the steam power, pressure that was come off of that, or using the temperature, the heat off of it, whatever, to put energy back into the system, so you're not defying any laws of physics in the entire way that I've explained this whole entire deal. You're not trying to get out more than you put in. You may be putting in more energy than you're actually getting out. However, the energy that you're putting in that is more energy than you're actually getting out is all free. It's solar power, it's wind power, it's hydroelectrics, it's thermoelectrics, and all you're doing is putting it all into one pot to run what it is that you need to run. I've had a 9-volt battery connected to a circuit for the last 2 days, and these little blinking LEDs, it's all it is, and everybody's like, well, you know, that's not that big of a deal, but there is a resistor on there, so there is actually a load on this deal. I've had a 9-volt battery sitting there basically running by itself for the last 2 days, and at some points when the power gets down to a certain point where the pulsing of the little magnetic ballast gets, the slower you pulse it, you can literally sit there and watch as the voltage in that battery starts to rise. So it has been running solid for the last couple of days, and I'm just going to leave it there running by itself just to see how long it will maintain itself. So at the very least, that little crummy little circuit right there has extended the life of that battery to allow it to run that long. Otherwise, it should have already drained down by now, and that battery, the lights should have went out, but they're still blinking.
Did you see the video of this one gentleman on YouTube?
Do what now?
I can't hear you, Reverend.
You ought to come back to the close to the mic.
Alright. Did you see the video of this one gentleman that's been taking these dead 9-volt batteries, and he has this generator that runs off of it, and he was like pumping sludge or whatever with a big pump that he had that he was running off of this thing. I seen this a few months ago, and I brought it back up, and I watched it again the other day, and he had some college students there and everything, showing that he could run this motor, that everybody can have one in their home to power their homes, off of dead 9-volt batteries.
It don't surprise me none. Because in a battery, whether people want to disagree or not, there is as much potential energy in a dead battery as there is in a fully charged battery. When you charge a battery...
Ryan Abrams, he's got a LED matrix of like over 100 LEDs there, and he's got one of those little jewel thieves there that's built in. It's got a transistor for each row of LEDs, and... He told me, he said, I make you one of these, but you can't use a new AAA battery. You have to use one of those that won't even light a flashlight anymore.
Well, anyway,
you have to use one. So that thing's like 0.5 volts instead of 1.5.
The only thing you do when you charge a battery is to take the energy that isn't, the potential energy that is in a dead battery, and you throw that energy off balance, such as putting more electrons on one plate as opposed. And where you get the workout is that energy flow as nature tries to balance itself back out. when you take two magnets and you put them anywhere close to each other, they are not doing what you think they're doing. All they are doing is trying to align themselves to where, you know, negative, positive, all the way through the whole system. As long as you can keep that off of balance, then nature will continue to try to balance it back out. The same thing applies with electricity. And the reason why those blinking LEDs that I've been talking about here are still functioning is because it continuously keeps everything off balance. So what is going on there? It's not a complex circuit. All it is a blinking LED, a resistor and a capacitor. So what happens is, when the power from the battery goes and makes the LED blink, that energy pulses through the primary of the magnetic ballast. As that magnetic field collapses, it sends a surge back into the capacitor. And so it's kind of bouncing back and forth. Whereas after over certain long periods of times, it starts to lose some of its power and the voltage will go down. When it gets to a certain point to where that thing is pulsing real slow, you can actually watch as the voltage starts to rise again. So there's a sweet spot in there somewhere where that doggone battery, if you pulse that coil at just the right timing, you can literally, and it's not being pulsed fast like a transistor. We're talking about just barely on, off, on, off. Try this sometime. Get you a little magnetic ballast out of any of the little fluorescent lightings with the small tubes in them. They're a little, looks like a little transformer with two wires out of it. Put that onto a 9-volt battery, and as you pull that off the 9-volt battery, you'll feel a surge, and you'll get shocked off of this deal. All right? So see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get one of those 8-ohm to 1,000-ohm audio transformers, 1,000-ohm to 8-ohm audio transformers. You put that 9-volt on the 8-ohm. You might as well call it 8 volts.
Yeah.
Say 8, and you're going to get 1,000 out the other side. But not if you keep it connected. It's the make and break it does.
All right, guys. Well,
like a wind turbine with a prop, it's got to be matched to the alternator, or you'll never see the power. So matching your things to get. Will change, whatever part you use is going to change that sweet spot. But finding what sweet spot you want and then match your stuff up is pretty much going to get you the closest to top efficiency or over unity.
Well, and I believe that as well. Look, we're right down to the wire. It's going to be kind of a normal 2-hour show today because I got some things I got accomplished together. But I'd like to invite both of you guys on to the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow so we can, you know, take this subject up again, because
if I can get home in time.
All right, well, if not, we'll hold the fort down as long as we can for you to get here. But either way, we got every single thing that we need to literally build the perfect generator. And I'm saying it. I'm flat out coming out and saying it. But right now, we have the potential to literally prove once and for all free energy, alternative energy, clean, renewable, green energy. It's all there. It's been there all along. It's just putting those pieces of the puzzle together. And that's why we're trying to bring everybody together to literally do this. I'm going to continue to do what I do on my Mad Science and my YouTube, and I'm going to prove it. And so with that said, if anybody out there is interested in the system, not asking for donations, I'm asking for mind power. And if you got resources and I got resources and we combine them, we get it done faster. So with that said, Muddy, you got anything last to say to everybody?
Yeah, I don't think it's all out of trying to get to over unity or renewable or free or clean energy. I think it's reusable energy. If you can use the energy twice, then you probably don't have to put it in twice.
Yep. Hey, Muddy, can you see that link?
I think that's where you're going with that, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you see that link that that Pastor Williams posted in the chat?
Let me see here. Yes, I can.
I wonder if you could post that over to Wake Radio and Shaziz Radio for us so that people can take a look at his videos. And I don't know if I'm subscribed, but I'll do that as soon as I get off this show. But anyway, yeah. Pastor Williams, I appreciate you being on there and everything. if you're interested in pulling your networks together with ours, we can try to get this done faster. And that said, you got anything you want to tell everybody before we peel up out of here?
Amen. Like I said, I mean, if anybody wants this technology with the vans, with the creating the vapor, I mean, it's real simple to do, and I can walk you through it. And like I said, I mean, I'll even build one for you if you want, Shaziz. This way you can save money on yours, and you can help me with a Tesla coil.
Yep, no problem. Anyway, throw out your YouTube channel right there. Muddy, you can need to throw yours out there, too, real quick.
www.youtube.com/user/muddymuddymudman.
Cool. What about you, Pastor Warren? You want to throw your YouTube out there?
Yeah, all I got to do is go to YouTube and just look for Pastor William Barhorst, and I'll type it in so they can share the name.
All right.
You can even search Google or anything like that with my name, and you'll see everything about me.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to Mad Science. Sorry for the short show this week. Got a lot of stuff to do. I'm going to go out and find some more materials to do more projects. There's a big auction going on in town, and I need to be there so I can get some goodies and make some more good videos for you guys out there. So we got everything that we need. We're on the verge of proving it once and for all, and we're going to show the man people power is what I'm talking about. So peace and love to everybody. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!